this angle was like we Steve and I were looking down at in the camera where the point of view would be from the other actor looking up at us. And right before
I was trying to think, I was like, I'm gonna mention this.
Well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of your actions, you know who you are. Don't you hate when people do that? Do just what? Like on Facebook, have this like general post.
Oh, and it's about someone?
Yeah, but they're like, you know who you are. Yeah. And it's like, come on, man. Welcome, everybody. I'm Jim.
I'm Steve. And you know what you did.
And you know what you did. You are listening to Inappropriate with Jim and Steve, and welcome.
Welcome back, everybody.
I hope if you are a new listener, you listened to last week's episode, the best of our 2023 year.
I did get a feedback that I thought was kind of funny about that episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Somebody who listened to it said that one of the ones he felt like we laughed a lot. I was like, we laugh all the time. The first, our first story, I forget exactly which one it was.
I think the first one was the smelling salts.
Yeah, yeah. So he was just like, I didn't know what you were laughing about. But then I started laughing because you guys were just laughing.
Well, that's perfect.
I know.
Hey, whether you know what's going on or not, if you're laughing, then you're having a good time.
Yeah, I know, exactly. We did something, was my first this week. I think we should talk about it.
Let's kick off the show with that.
All right. I think that's a good idea.
So we briefly talked about it maybe a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I can't remember. That Steve was going to join me in his acting debut.
Yes.
We were cast in a short film locally here in Baltimore. If you didn't listen to that episode, I was cast as a police officer, and there was two officers for that, this particular short film. And I reached out to him and said, hey, I got my podcast co-host. Like he's kind of been, semi-interested in getting in front of the camera. And what do you guys think about just casting us both, Officer One and Officer Two? And they checked out our shorts on YouTube, and they said, yeah, okay, cool. Send us over a self-tape. So we did. And then we got cast filming. For that was a few days ago.
Yes. It was originally supposed to be on a Friday, but the weather across the United States has been kind of crazy. So it snowed in Baltimore, so it got moved to Sunday.
And that does change a few things for you and I.
Yes.
I know for you a lot more because Friday you're off on Saturday, of course, and Sunday, now that it got changed to Sunday, you had to work, and it was a late night shoot.
Yes.
To say the least.
Very late.
We were originally supposed to get on set at 3 p.m., and I reached out to the director, and I said, hey, when do you really need us? And he said, just be here by 6.
Yeah.
So we get there about 6. We sat around with our dicks in our hand for about an hour and a half, would you say?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Jim and I talked in the bathroom.
Yes, we had to get dressed in the bathroom together.
And it's a bar. It was a bar. And Jim and I are sitting in the bathroom, people yanking on the door, trying to get in. And Jim says, there's just a couple dudes in here. And, we're just sitting around talking pantsless. And, I was pantsless.
We get in our cop outfits, and we look damn good.
I thought so, too.
Everybody in the bar thought we were legit cops when we walked out of the bathroom together.
I will say it was kind of funny. There was a common theme between anyone who thought we were cops, and it was all the black guys on the crew thought we were actual cops.
Right. So we ended up filming our first scene. Thought it was a good first scene for me. You.
Yeah. It was just walking. But it gets you that little like, oh shit, I'm actually doing something. Like you see the lights and you see the camera.
The camera, the director.
And then it's like, how we had to do it, which is just walking around, just walking down the street. I was like, man, I'm actually in fucking something.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And you're still like, even though there wasn't any lines in that particular scene, I thought it was a like a perfect transition, because you can prepare all you want mentally on your couch at home.
Yeah.
But being there and having people stand around and need you to perform, and then the camera's going, the director's saying action, walking down the street, like we weren't just strolling down. We had a purpose why we were walking down the street.
Yeah.
So you still are acting the way that you're supposed to act, walking down the street. And it feels weird in your head.
It does.
When you're doing it.
Because I was like sitting there and while we were walking, I was like, I got to be kind of pissed off. And I got to really look for somebody, even though I'm just like, turn around. Right. And I'm like, and then, you know, in the back of your mind, you're like, am I turning my head too much? You know, am I looking around too crazy?
You start to overanalyze everything because like the camera doesn't miss anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when you're sitting here talking with someone, you know, they're kind of glancing over and there's other outside elements that are, you know, maybe pull your attention for a quick second. You're not like staring somebody's face the entire time. But when you're on camera, a misstep, a glance at the camera lens by accident, because like that's staring you in the face, like it picks that up. And then
I felt like I was really good about not looking at the camera.
But you have to tell yourself, there's so many conscious things going on in your head at once.
Yeah.
And then you still have to do what a natural, like we were police officers. So like you still have to act like a police officer would be acting in this situation, even while processing everything that's going in your head. And people think, oh, it's easy. It's not as easy as you think.
And I'll tell you, the biggest thing in my mind the entire time is I walk like a duck. So I was trying to be like, point my fucking toes in. So I walk like a normal human being. And I had like dress shoes on. So it's like, I'm like, it's going to look like fucking flippers. Like,
right.
going down the street.
But we nailed it. Then we changed locations to our main scene. And we waited for our scene and waited.
We waited, I think, 5 hours.
It was, I mean, we got there at like
7:30-ish. Yeah.
The entire cast, we ate, it was catered or whatever. And so everybody ate and then they got into.
Can we talk about that?
I think we can.
How many people do you think were completely
there? About 32 to 34 people there.
Okay. Yeah. That was about my.
And we were in a Baltimore City townhome in Federal Hill. Like that's where it was shot.
Yeah.
So imagine, obviously, if you're familiar with Fed Hill, most of the townhouses are
very narrow.
12 foot max wide.
Yeah.
And there's 30 people and cameras and lighting and sound and people running all over the place, doing different jobs, setting up this scene, breaking down this scene. There's makeup artists. There's a whole crew in this tiny little house.
Yeah.
And then they bring in the catering.
Yes. And what you would think to yourself, what would be a food to feed the masses? And maybe I'm wrong, but spaghetti, like.
So I was thinking too. Okay. So.
Because we couldn't really talk out loud.
No, because
there were so many people and we couldn't say, like, we gave each other looks a lot.
Absolutely.
But I didn't know what you really thought of.
I think you know what I thought. Like, we know. We're on the same
Lake. I did think it was crazy because the house that we were in, someone lived there and it was, you know, it's their house and you have all these people eating
spaghetti with meat sauce.
And when they carried it in, some of it dropped on a white upholstered chair and stained the shit out of it. And did you see that?
No.
Right at the end. As soon as he sat that meat sauce down, I thought maybe it was like condensation from the tray, because they were in
like a catering tray.
Yeah, those metal catering trays. And it dropped right on that fucking thing.
So when they brought the spaghetti in, my first initial thinking was, okay, I get it. Spaghetti is inexpensive, and you can get a lot of it.
Yes.
And you can feed a lot of people.
It made sense from a cost standpoint.
From a financial standpoint. And then I saw people just digging into this meat sauce. But it was on paper plates. And people were, like, there's nowhere to sit.
Yeah, so there was people nowhere to sit.
Standing with these, like, the picnic style
plates. The dollar store paper plates that are it wasn't and fucking dynamic.
Loading it up. I mean, there was like a snow cone of spaghetti on some people's plate with, like, I'm seeing this one guy just scooping sauce. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like,
his
should I
sauce
tell him
to spaghetti ratio was so fucking off.
I was getting ready to say, like, dude, you need a bowl. Like, it's like you got soup at this point.
Yeah.
And I just, like, envisioned the spaghetti sauce all over the place, like a fucking murder scene. Like, people are just dropping spaghetti sauce. And, you know, I don't know who actually lived there. But those 30-some people that doing the movie weren't living there.
Yeah.
And then I thought, who thought that through? Like, somebody did the cost versus spaghetti sauce damage to your house ratio and said, fuck it. You know, spaghetti sauce is where, like, this is what we're doing.
There was one guy that he was just part of the crew. He scooped the spaghetti on and he must in his life be the sloppiest human ever in the entire world, because he put the spaghetti noodles on his plate and dropped spaghetti noodles, like, all around the tray. So he was trying to be nice and, like, pull them off the table and then so that he could throw them away. Like, just so he's just doing that. And then I noticed that he just grabs a handful of noodles that were long, that kind of fell out of the next, because there were like three trays
bins,
of noodles, and it was like sitting all on the fucking side of it, and he grabs it and pulls up like the whole thing of noodles on the inside and he just sets it in.
He put it back.
Oh my god. You and I had already eaten at this point.
Oh,
so
okay.
I felt
that makes me feel better.
Yes. So he puts the sauce on, and then he goes to throw it away. What the dude doesn't notice is he has the fucking longest string of fucking spaghetti I've ever seen in my entire life hanging off of it. And then he's fucking ladling sauce on it, and you can see, like, it's just, like, running down the noodle, like, to drop on the floor. And I was like, I'm not fucking saying anything. Like, I'm not going to be like...
There's nothing you could say.
Yeah, I was just like, I didn't want to be like... Dude, you're about to drop fucking spaghetti all, and then I just, like, walked away, and then I came back and I saw that, like, all the spaghetti was now on his tray, but on his plate. But I was like, that is fucking insane.
So, all right, moving on. Steve and I wait, and we hear, you know, people talking and they're doing scenes, and we hear, like, okay, we're due blah blah blah, and then we're due the officer scene, and we're like, okay, and we're like doing the math in our head.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, maybe. So
there was a lot of clock watching,
and then maybe they got the makeup for this, and then we're gonna maybe we got about an hour, Steve. And you're like, okay, cool. And then an hour and a half rolls by, and we hear the same people talking, like, all right, we got this. We're gonna send this person up to makeup, and then you hear somebody go, that's gonna be a while, and you're like, fuck.
And we needed that person to be done to do our
right,
shit.
Right. So that person had a film. Then they were sending them up for makeup, and then we. Then they could set up our scene and do it.
Yes.
So 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, four. It's like 12:30, I think, finally, they started setting up for our scene.
Yes. Setting up for our scene.
And if you've never been part of a production, it's not like you get in they call it blocking. Blocking is where basically you run through it with the director and he says, all right, you guys start here. The action is here. The camera's going to follow you there. I want you back. And then they test things like, hey, hold this up. And then they get the camera ready.
Yeah.
And they get the focus and they go, okay, when we say action, like, that's where you need to be. So, like, everything is choreographed. It's a very choreographed event.
Yes.
So it's not like, hey, we're ready for you. And you go downstairs, the camera follows you, and then you just start filming. Like, it's the sound guy. They test it. It's the lighting people. Oh, we got a weird shadow. Change this. Oh, we don't like this light. Change the light. So it's a whole rigmarole just to get a couple minutes of footage. One scene. So finally, they're actually ready for us.
Yeah.
And the other actor comes down, the main character comes down, and he is pissed off.
He was. Fuck you.
He's just mad. I think him and the director, they've been filming for 2 days. So we had a small part in this project. And they've already been filming for 2 days. And I think there was just, it's coming to a head.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So last night and...
That actor was supposed to already have flown home, but because of the snow and it was delayed. So now he's, you know, and I think he was okay with the delay.
He went out and enjoyed,
you know, Baltimore. He understands what's going on. But he was a little upset at the time management of, I guess, the entire project.
Yeah.
Whereas we were feeling that on a different scale. Yeah. You know, and so I don't know if you or I looked at each other, but like when he got in his position and started, I couldn't tell if he was just being so condescending or if that's how he spoke. I'm not exactly sure, but
it definitely is a combination of both.
Me and Steve looked at each other like, oh fuck, come on. Like, let's not delay this anymore of them going back and forth. So, but finally he gets in position.
It was the first meltdown I've ever saw. Yeah,
we had a lot of firsts on this. That's why this theme is the first theme for our podcast. So the way that this camera, this angle was, like, Steve and I were looking down at in the camera where the point of view would be from the other actor looking up at us. And right before...
I was trying to think. I was like, I'm going to mention this, but now I know you're exactly
I'm painting the picture of, I want people to be there with us.
Yes, yes.
So now let me, before I get into this next sentence. So in this room, it's basically a basement where Steve and I are officers approaching a crime scene. There is a potential victim on the ground. Like that's painting the picture. I'm not going to get into details. When it gets released, we'll put it up on our page,
yes.
And you guys can see it. So in this little basement, which is about 8 foot wide, it's me, Steve, the other actor. There's a lighting girl behind us.
Yes.
Holding a light, doing something.
Yeah.
There's a script supervisor to her left. There is a sound guy holding the mic boom. Another sound engineer monitoring the sound of the mic boom.
Yeah.
There is the director.
The assistant director.
The assistant director. The cameraman. There could have been one or two other people over there.
Yeah.
So it was a packed room.
It was so crowded.
And the director says to us, all right, everybody get their places. Camera rolling. You don't hit action yet. The camera rolls. He checks. Camera's rolling. Director says, okay, sound. Sound person says, we're good. And then the director is on cue to say action. And right before he says action, the smell of death just hits both of us in the face. Yeah. The entire room is quiet because the director says quiet on set, which means all 30 people, wherever you're at in the house, basically is staying still, no talking, nothing's going on. Yeah. It's dead silent, ready to record.
Don't fuck anything up.
Everyone is counting on you to do, like, need to nail this because we're pressed for time. And Steve and I needed to be one take Tommies.
Yeah. They did say that to us.
And somebody busted ass so bad.
It was so bad.
And I'm thinking, I hope somebody doesn't think it's me. And I'm thinking, did this motherfucker next to me, meaning you, Steve, this guy fucking bust ass? And I'm thinking,
I was thinking to myself, Jim probably thinks this is me.
And I'm thinking like this, I'm thinking like either one, Steve thinks it's me. Or two, like, did Steve get so nervous that he just released? But I knew it wasn't you. There's no, like, I know you, and I'm like, it wasn't Steve. And then the lighting girl behind us, which is maybe the, I don't know, closest to me, like this little dainty girl. And I'm like, there's no way that this girl just ripped one.
Yeah.
So then there's only one other person.
That was right in front of us.
With his legs spread.
Yeah.
And that was the camera guy.
With the camera on his chest.
And I'm like, and you can't react. You can't say, hey, who the fuck farted? You know, you just have to go with it. And I'm like, motherfucker. Like, it's hard enough to act, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It's hard enough to perform under pressure. Now somebody farts.
Yeah. And all you want to do is call somebody, be like, who farted?
Right. Like, stop the whole thing. Who farted? Like, let me evacuate for 10 minutes. And like, there's no air circulation because, you know, they have to have the HVAC off because that, you know, can pick up on the audio.
And the boom mic is like almost laying on my head.
Right.
Because it is so good.
Like, whenever you're watching a movie, wherever the frame is, there is a boom mic like a half a centimeter outside of that frame.
I couldn't believe that it wasn't in there. But this smell was so fucking bad.
So then they say action. You and I nailed it.
We are like DiCaprio and De Niro out there.
We nailed it.
Yeah.
One take.
Yep.
They switch positions. The camera guy goes to the other side. They take a wide angle shot. The lead actor goes down where the camera was. We nail it again. Boom. One take. We go up and we go upstairs. We finish. Well, we go outside to finish another outside scene when it's 17 degrees, 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So let me get into that. We have so much content for this short film. So we're in the middle of Baltimore City. Steve and I are dressed as cops. Now, it gave me a newfound respect for police officers on the beat.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're being watched.
Yes.
Like people are noticing you as officers, right?
Like, yeah.
And believe me, Steve and I, we look like cops.
Yes.
Point blank. And it's, at this point, I think it's 1:30 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's right around there.
And we got to, you know, we're hoping to get 3 takes as long as nobody fucks up. And Steve and I were back about maybe 30 feet from where, and we're supposed to come into the shot. And there's this guy walking his dog. Yeah. And, you know, and it's fine. When you film outside, things...
Yeah, people.
You know, there's people walking by, and that's just it's a natural. And hey, cool, you got.
And people are shooting a movie, so it's a little bit more like they're looking more at it,
right? Because, I mean, yeah, right. So there, I mean, there wasn't the whole crew out there. Maybe 6 to 8. I don't know how many.
Yeah.
You know, the sound, all the extra people. And he's like, he's sitting off camera behind you and I, like on the sidewalk. He's walking his dog, and he's like, he stopped walking the dog, and he's looking at us, and we do a take, and then we come back. And I was like, hey, man, like, if you need to walk by, go. We're going to probably be another minute or so before we do another take. And he's like, is it okay if I go over there, like, up there? And up there was where the other actor was starting the scene. Like, that's where everything was happening.
Yeah.
Sitting on a bench. And I was like, yeah, okay. And he's like, yeah, my dog only will poop on that actual patch of grass. Which is literally in frame.
And it's covered by snow.
Right. There's like, no patch of grass.
Yeah, there's no patch of grass. So
at that point, it was too late to tell him no.
Yeah,
because he's talking as he's walking. You know, we're like, and now the entire crew is waiting for this dog to shit. Before we can film another.
Shit, big piece of dog shit right on top of fucking white snow.
So we do the take 2, take 3. You and I nail it, of course.
Of course.
And then we go back in, and they changed up our entire last scene. Like, they changed the entire last scene. And this is... We've already had 2 rehearsals on the books.
Yes.
With the cast. Let alone just the times that you just read your lines by yourself, whether you're on the toilet or, you know, just sitting in your car.
Yeah, and how you're going to say it, like,
right,
trying to make it not sound...
You're thinking about, like... How do you breathe life into this character in this scene? Whether you have one line or 30 pages of script.
Yeah.
You want to give the best performance because that's what you're hired to do. You and I mean, even when we had 4 or 5 hours. So you and I were going over our lines and like, maybe you could say this, or maybe take this cue, that, you know. So we had this whole thing, and literally we walk in, and they're like, okay, well, let's do. Oh, we're out of time. And we're like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I was
because
like,
because we've been here since the beginning of time.
Yes, it's so fucking long, and I'm like, I gotta get up and like, I'm count the down because I was like, oh, now I get 4 hours of sleep. Now I'm getting 3 hours of sleep. I'm just like counting it in my head. And then they say, no, you don't have enough.
You know, when you do the film, like you're hiring the cameraman, you're hiring the sound, hiring everybody. Like it's all contracted. They're not like your friends. I mean, they could be your friends, but like in this particular instance, it was a hired crew. I mean, the one guy flew out from wherever the hell he's from.
There was a guy from Dallas, okay. Guy from Indianapolis. Like,
right. So people were flying in and like that was contracted and they were contracted to 12:30.
Yeah.
And if you've ever worked on a set, you will know that the camera guy, the lighting, the sound, they don't give a fuck what you're doing. Like their job is their job.
Yeah.
They don't care if this is going to be a shit production. They don't care if this is going to be a fucking Oscar winner. They go home at 12:30 if that's what their contract says. Like they break the shit down at 12:30. Yeah, this was like almost 2.
Yeah. So whatever time they were,
he negotiated. You know, the director of this negotiated. I don't know, another hour or two.
Yeah.
And that hour or two was like,
and you could tell they wanted to go. Like they were like, because they said to break down everything and get everything packed up.
And it's not like throw the camera in the back of your car and roll.
There was a lot of shit.
It is. It's like an hour breakdown, and this is like with everybody working, all of them working. So we have like 5 minutes. The film, the big scene. And this is mine and Steve's big scene. But more importantly, it was the pivotal scene for this production. Like this scene is where our protagonist becomes the antagonist.
Else. Yes, yes.
And like, they're just
switch flips on this guy. And this is the part it happens.
Glossing over it. And it's like, dude, you like, what the fuck? And then they're like, hey, what about if you guys do, what do you guys want to say? How about you say this? And then how about you do this? And we were like, what is going the fuck? I just want to say what the fuck we've been rehearsing for 3 weeks.
I just want to say, like, I only have 4 or 5 lines and you're about to cut fucking 2 or 3 of them. So it's going to, so now it's fine.
When you were driving home, how just like, maybe this didn't happen to you. Maybe it only happens to me.
Uh-huh.
And by no means am I an actor.
Yeah.
I've done about 6 different productions and probably had about 18 actual filming days of my life. But every time I'm driving home, no matter how well or bad or whatever it was, I just get amped up driving home.
No, I was pretty amped up. When I got home, I was like, I got to go to bed. I only have a couple hours. I have less than 3 hours of sleep. Right. Left
and it's
to
like
do.
All that adrenaline, like you, it's like, there. It's a vibe. It's a feeling.
Yeah. And I was like, when we were talking about it, I was like, you asked me if I would do it again. I was like, fuck no.
We were sitting at like hour 4 doing nothing. And I'm like, you're never going to do this again. You're like, fuck no.
But then when I was laying in bed, I was like, that was kind of fun. But
right.
But we actually did stuff, a lot of fun.
Right. And that is...
And I don't know if I was bad or good. You know, I think I was all right, but...
I think we nailed it.
Yeah.
I think we nailed it. And you don't really know. And a lot of that goes into the editing. Yeah. Like, the editing has to be good. The sound has to be good. The score has to be good. Like, the storyline has to be put together well. So we had one piece, and I think we delivered our piece.
Yes.
And that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And we got paid.
Yeah, like we got paid.
You got paid in your first gig. Like you are a paid actor.
I know. I'm not going to claim it, but
Uncle Sam has entered the chat.
No, I will say I'm going to say this as delicate as I can, without offending anyone.
Ooh.
or
dirt.
One of the funniest things that happened to it was one of the actors was talking to Jim and I, and he's all over the place. He was all over the place with certain things, and he's talking to me about acting and you know what he does and his life and how he like ambitions, dreams or whatever. And then he starts going into like he has some monologue memorized, and he starts doing it, and I can't leave.
It's only you. You are trapped in the basically in the kitchen.
Yeah, I was cornered in the kitchen.
He was in front of you, and then like I was kind of floating around, in and out of the conversation, and so I didn't catch right away what he was doing.
I didn't either.
Okay.
I was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, he just starts going into this. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to start saying this, and he just starts doing
it. And it's going.
And it's long.
And it's going.
It's fucking long.
It catches my ear. Like, I hear noise, but I didn't really pick up everything that's going on. But I know, like, this guy has been straight talking in a theatrical way, right? I could be 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Yeah. It's going,
and he's not,
no end in sight.
This shit does was
because
not,
you have no idea what he's actually saying.
I don't know anything.
It's just like a Macbeth or like yes.
I was sitting there,
speaking
and I was
of
like,
the tongue.
Yeah, and I was like, is he fucking talking, doing Shakespeare or something like that?
Right.
It's like I have no fucking clue what this dude's doing.
It was like a performance art that you didn't know.
I didn't know what was happening. And he was just going, and I was like,
Him and Steve are locked eyes.
Because you don't want to be rude. So I always feel like it's important to like look in a person's eyes to sound like, to be like you're engaged in their conversation.
He's doing an art piece. Like he is just one man show.
And I don't want to be rude all I want to do is,
It's like past two. Like it's like two something in the morning.
And the dude was eating so many wavy lays that his breath smelled like wavy lays.
And that's not even talking bad because he's even said, my breath probably stinks because I've been doing nothing but chowing down on these wavy lays.
And he was right. He was right. and it is Shakespeare coming at me in wavy lays.
So then I just think, part of me goes, this will make good content if I never say anything, because I want to see how long this guy is going to go. Like, before Steve said something, and I'm thinking like, Steve ain't going to say shit.
I wasn't going to say anything.
You might still be there in that kitchen right now if that guy hasn't stopped talking. So then I just said, and then I felt bad. I was like, okay, everybody wants to go home. So I was like, what can I say that can interrupt this, but not be rude, but not be like... So then I just said, hey, buddy, you're scaring Steve.
and then it allowed me to be like, oh, no, you're fine. What's over here, man? And then I just walked away because I was like, this thing's over. That was the best bro move ever. Like, bro as in like helping me out.
it was interesting. When you are part of this, like, actors are a weird bunch, man.
Yes.
And I won't say every actor, but there's a general vibe with actors.
Yes.
That I've been around. It's hard to even say. And then they're like, on the other side, like the gaffers and the camera crew, they are all the same.
That is very true. They speak a language that I didn't understand when they were talking to each other.
Yes.
And I had no fucking clue what's going on. And I, like, it was impossible to engage in conversation because I didn't know what they were saying.
I'm not going to say very military, but whenever somebody speaks, somebody else says copy.
Yeah. It reminds me of like when you watch a cooking show and the chef says something and they're like, yes, chef. Right. Like just to acknowledge that they heard it.
And it's so every female that works in this sound crew, like sound or video crew, they all have like
a look.
They all have a look.
Yes.
But they have like a kind of the slightly baggy, like Levi jeans.
Yes.
Rolled up. Like a little bit higher than they should.
Yeah.
Like Doc Martens.
Yep.
And you, it almost appears that they were, if you went back and looked at their high school picture, they were a little goth.
100%.
Yeah. And it's like, how did that look or person, why did they migrate to this industry? Because they're all very same.
Yeah. They all look the same.
The camera guys are always like these dudes that might even be hitting a bong.
Yes.
If they weren't speaking so technical and holding this camera, it's like, I don't know when the last time this dude showered.
Yeah.
They all kind of look like that.
Yeah. They all look like they are just tired and grimy and.
Right.
And they all look that way.
But they're hell of a good at what they do. They know the camera. And when they're spitting out
quiet,
they're spitting out like these 30, we need a 30, we need a 50, we need an 85, we need a blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they're going whatever.
Camera walking.
Yes. I mean, in all fairness, the camera's probably a 20.
Yeah, but it made sense 30, why you would yell that. But it was just.
I did pick up one thing. I picked up one lingo that I didn't know before. And I heard it all day. It kind of went in passing, and I was like, yeah, sticks. Do we need sticks? Do we need the sticks?
Oh yeah, I did hear that.
And I finally figured out what the sticks are. A tripod.
Oh.
Instead of saying the tripod, sticks.
Get it confused with another tripod? Like, I don't.
Right. Like, was tripod too hard to say? Yeah. So they just said, we need to call this sticks. Do we need the sticks? I mean, that's just being on set. You learn the little here's and there's or whatever.
The little nuances of it. And
sometimes I think they create their own language to keep people from really knowing what's going on. It makes their job seem, and their job is hard, but yes. It makes it seem like
100.
If you're not with us, you don't know, associate because you have nothing to contribute.
It was, I didn't even talk to them. Like, I don't even, the one guy that, like a couple guys that we were talking to, I don't think they were like the camera people because I didn't even bother talking to them because I was just like,
I don't
have anything to say to you. I don't know how to even engage you in conversation, you know?
But then the guy got my Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At the end. So, I mean, we're all good. The other actor, forget his name at the moment, but he got on Instagram. So, it was a lot of fun filming, and I equate it to a woman giving birth. I now know what it feels like, Steve, when a woman gives birth.
Yes. Because I can feel that pain.
The pain and suffering of this hurry up and wait
is
like the motto, and it's grueling sitting there. And you go, well, you're just sitting down, but like you have to have a certain energy. To perform. What doesn't matter if it's a high energy scene, if you're crying, if it's drama, you have to be in the right mindset. Like you can't be thinking about the other shit going on in your life. Like you have to be clear-headed, focused, ready to deliver your shit. And when you sit somewhere for 5 hours, you know, you only have so much energy. It's draining.
Yeah.
It's draining. And you start thinking like, fuck, like how am I going to do this? And you're like, this is the last every time. I mean, I think every project I've been on, at one point in my brain, I've said, why am I doing this? This is the last time I'm doing this.
I'm never going home.
Right. And when I'm done, I forget, like a woman forgets about all the pain during giving birth. And I only remember, oh, that was fun being in front of the camera. That was fun doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's go do another one. And it's like, did you not forget? Like, don't you remember the pain? Sitting here for hours just waiting for your turn to work. And you go, you know what? I want to see if I can do it better. You know what I mean? Like, let me find another role. I can do it better.
Yeah, let me try to get a bigger production.
Like a better, like just, and just... That's the way it is. You kind of get hooked.
Yep. So that was the first time I was ever in a movie, and it was an experience.
Hopefully, he said the editing. He did say that within 60 days, he hopes to have it out, which is just remarkable if he can get it done. He said they're going to start working 10 hours a day to knock it out. So
you guys will see this soon.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for sticking around with us. Jim and I were the next Abbott and Costello, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Speaking of Matt Damon, I think he was on the island.
Fuck.
I think I know for sure Affleck was.
Fuck.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.